back to Classical Guitar Insider. Today on the show, we're going to have Rob Adler. He is a guitarist and educator. He works at the New York Guitar School. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the Suzuki method. I don't think I've ever really discussed that on the show yet. So that's exciting. We get to, you know, take a look at that for just a second. I mean, we also get to know him a little bit. It's an interesting episode with a young guy who is hustling out there, and I think we all have something to learn from him because he's been doing good work. And I know some of his students. I have one of his students is in my guitar ensemble, and I got to tell you, the kid is outstanding. So whatever Rob's been doing with him is great. The show is sponsored by SavageClassical.com. That's SAVAGE Classical.com. You can go to Richard Sage and he can get you the guitar that you need to take over the world. So go up there. It's no longer in Bayshore, I don't think. But you could look it up. Look it up online, and then you'll have the phone number. You can give him a call, and you can schedule an appointment to see some of his outstanding instruments. That's SAVAGE Classical.com. Always sponsored by him and always grateful. Also sponsored by, don't turn the channel yet. We got plenty of fun stuff. I don't want you to fast forward through these right now. Just endure them. It's not that big of a deal. It's not going to take you forever. And if you want to learn a language, you can go to RosettaPodcast.com/insider to get a membership to Rosetta Stone for as little as $7.50 a month. That's RosettaPodcast.com/insider. If you don't do /insider, I get screwed out of money. And I'm going to be talking a little bit to Tom Kirstens, who is the CEO of the London Guitar Festival. The London Guitar Festival takes place at the end of the month. We talk a little bit about that. Let me just look it up real quick. London Guitar Fest 2018. Make sure that you get all the information that you need. And I'm going to stop saying, what is it? It looks like it's starting on October. He tells you exactly when it starts, but I can tell you that Geraldo Nunez is playing on the 26th and Anna Vidovic is playing on the 27th. So that's quite an outstanding festival. It's part of the International Guitar Foundation. And I'm real proud to be sponsored by them. I would love to go out to the Bath Guitar Festival in Southern England this summer if they'll have me and do full coverage like I did for Elnora. So that's exciting to be sponsored by them. And I'm going to be talking to Tom a little bit later on. There's something going on with Skype. There's something awful happening in the world of Skype right now. For some reason, I had Aaron Larger Kaplan on Skype. He's going to be on next time to tell us about his new album in the intro. And I interviewed him, and he's in Boston. And I don't know the audio quality of that, but I'm assuming it's not going to be that great. But the audio quality for Tom Kirstens is not good. Skype, I couldn't figure out what to do. I've been emailing friends, and nobody has anything for me. If you know what to do, let me know, because I looked at the boards. I spent all weekend, you know, on my phone, more or less, just Googling what to do about this issue. But you'll hear it. And the ridiculous thing is that I sound worse than he does. And it's my, I don't know if maybe he made the call. I don't know. But anyway, so it's maybe it's cloud-based, but whatever happened, it wasn't the best. It wasn't like the olden days when I was talking to, you know, Bill Kenningeiser of the LA Guitar Quartet. When I think that was the first one of these I did. That was, you know, years and years ago, but it was great. It sounded like he was sitting right here with me. So, you know, if you've ever been one of those people that's like, why don't you do Skype interviews? Well, there's a lot of reasons I don't do Skype interviews. But this certainly seals the deal. As far as the FaceTime calls, I don't think I can do FaceTime calls internationally. So this is trouble. Skype, we got to figure this out. In the meantime, I need to get this out. I need to get the word out about the festival because this is down to the wire now. It is already October 15th. So you've got just a couple of days here to start getting yourself to London for the guitar festival. I hope you do. I've got my brother's wedding coming up. I got to do that. I'm playing again. The hands are working to a degree. The left hand, the right hand, I'm feeling pretty good about. I'll tell you more about that later. The left hand is just, they're just, you know what, folks, they're going to have to go back in a couple of months and remove something called scar tissue. I hope I didn't make you throw up. But basically, they're going to have to go in and make it where I could move the finger as much as I could before. It's really just that tip joint. I'm unable to play like a C7 chord without, you know, moving my arm down. That's no good. I don't want to live like that. That's no way to live, folks. No way to live, folks. Listen to me. What an affectation. But, you know, I've got my brother's wedding coming up. I'm going alone. I'm going to be the oldest of the generation, of my generation, in my family. And I will be just hanging out by myself. You know, but I've got some of my close, all my best friends are there. So it's going to be the best. Because the thing about Rory is, and this is what makes it so special, is that we share a friend group. And oh my God. I mean, it's probably going to be the best wedding ever because of that. Mickey's wedding was pretty good too. But I have to write a speech and I don't know what to say. It's like all I can do is think about roasting. But I was talking to my friend who's in advertising and does copywriting, and he was like, you shouldn't do that. He goes, it doesn't work. The thing is that the room is, you can't control the room. There's caterers running around. There's clicking and clacking. People are talking. Babies are crying. It's not an environment for stand-up. And I was, and you know, he's like, if you want to be a stand-up, maybe you should, you know, you go do an open mic or something. Don't use your brother's wedding as an opportunity for you to see if this is something you're interested in. And I'm like, well, I'm not interested in it. But I did. I immediately started just writing bits and jokes. And we both agreed that they were very good. But you don't want to fail in front of people that you like. And the other thing is, you don't realize this. Well, you realize it if you performed. But the most stressful performances are not in the biggest places. I played at some festivals with as many as, I would say, approaching, I don't know, something like 1,000 people, I want to say, or something. I mean, it's probably more like 600. But I'm just saying, like, I played in a big room, and it doesn't bother me nearly as much as playing in front of people that I love and care about. That is pretty terrifying. Because I feel like the thing is that they sacrifice to be my friend. They give up a lot. They put up with a lot. They put up with me saying no to things a lot, and not being able to afford things, and being old enough to supposedly be able to do these things. So I want to go like, okay, well, here's my gift to you. I know that, like, you know, that I don't have my, I know that you're tolerating me. Here's a little bit of guitar for you. And I want it to be really good. So I can only assume that when I'm speaking in front of everybody, that I'm really going to want to have my shit together. And I want to go in there with confidence. And according to everybody I speak to, they're like, you shouldn't go in there and roast people. So I'm not going to. I just have to figure out what to do. I have to sit down and write this. And actually, I got to go because that's what I got to do. I got to write this stuff. And I'll tell you how it goes. I'm going to go to the wedding alone. The girl I liked, you know, this is what happens. I was walking down the street. I saw her walking down the street with another guy who had a dog. So that was about it. I'm getting through that. It's just a teeny little heartbreak. It'll go away. But yeah, so I'm going to the wedding alone. Anyway, let's talk to Tom Kirstens. More importantly, let's talk to Tom Kirstens of the London Guitar Festival and listen to what he has to say about this. And please donate to the show. That's brettwilliamsmusic.com, the podcast section. Donate to the show. I really appreciate all the memberships. If you're one of those big donor guys, I don't want the membership to turn you away from donating more. So let's do it. All right, here's Tom Kirstens of the London Guitar Festival.
Guitar Festival exists about, I think it's about 14 years now, but we as the organizers, as a charity called International Guitar Foundation, we exist 24 years, and we do festivals all over the UK. And we started in Bath, you know, the city of Bath?
Yeah, it's in the southwest.
West, yeah, near Bristol. But we've been doing London for about 14 years now. It's all over London, but this year especially at King's Place. And so we have lots of different concerts. It's multi-stylistic, so it's not classical only, but also flamenco and jazz and all kinds of things. And we have lots of young artist concerts. That's one of our main objectives, to provide a young artist platform.
Great. So you also have some up-and-comers. Now you have Geraldo Nunez, you got Anna Vidovic.
Yeah.
But you also have some room for some guys that are trying to get their foot in the door.
Yeah, that's right. It's we have a so-called young artist platform, and that's for people that put their first steps on the concert platform. They're out of college already, or just about out of college.
Right.
And they're doing their first gigs and everything. So we provide a platform for them to give a concert, but not just to do the concert. Also, we provide lots of workshops for them and training in PR and marketing. For instance, how to do a podcast. No, that's not given by me, of course.
It could be given by me. I could tell people how to. If they do a really good job, they get all this splendor.
Yes, yes.
all this can be theirs.
This is where to start them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and we give them all kinds of things like marketing, PR, but also business skills.
Yeah.
So we get different people in to do that. So it's a whole program, and they get to play at all our festivals and concert series, which is 4 or 5 every year. So it is quite an interesting thing. We have a lot of people auditioning for it. So there's a panel, and every year we audition lots of young players, and we choose 3 or 4.
And this is in lieu of a competition, or do you have a competition as well?
We also have a competition.
Okay, so there's just people worried. Everywhere we look, there's someone just scared to death at this festival. They're either auditioning or they're in a competition. They're having fun, but they're freaking out.
That's good. Yeah, no, they need to be scared.
That's right. You have to frighten these people.
It's the tough, to be a common concert artist.
You do.
The competition has been going actually since 1994, but it wasn't bad.
Wow.
And our first winner was Anna Vidovic.
Oh, so this is a little bit of a homecoming.
This is it, yeah. That's really good. So she plays on that same evening when we have the competition. She plays right at the end, just a big, apotheosis of the end. Right. And but she was a real prodigy. There's not many prodigies in guitar, classical guitar. But she was one, and she won it when she was 14, which is incredible. And we did a CD with her as well. We also have a CD label. That was when she was 15. So yes, it's a full circle. So she's now only in her, early 30s.
That's right.
Extremely young looking compared to me, that is.
Well, you look great. You look great. And I wouldn't have known if you didn't download Skype. I mean, aren't you happy we did it? It's great, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is about her, I remember being, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the show or not, but I remember being in college at the time and listening to that album of her. I'm 41. So I was at college at the time and listening to her, and me and my friend just being like, oh, what is this? Is so upsetting. Here's this 13-year-old destroying it. And I'm sure, like you're saying, that was probably one of her first competitions that she won.
I think it's our first competition. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what the dates are for the festival. I'm going to put this out probably, this weekend. So let's tell everybody where to go and where to park. Yeah. And
so it starts on the 24th. We are actually doing a recording with all the young artists. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I've failed to mention so far. We are part of a collaborative of 17 European festivals. Mm-hmm. And competition. They all have a competition winner, of course, every year. And all these winners are coming to London. Well, in fact, it's only 9. But so we have 9 of them coming. They're all playing concerts. And we also will make a CD for our label. They will all play like 7 to 10 minutes on the CD. And we're going to record that on the 24th and the 25th of October. Then we have press launch on the evening of the 25th, where they will be playing as well. Then the festival proper kicks off at St. John Smith Square, which is a beautiful concert venue, at lunchtime on Friday 26th. And then we also have the semi-final of the competition that afternoon at the Royal Academy of Music. Free entry from 3 o'clock. And then we have Gerardo Nunez and Carmen Cortez flamenco show.
Absolutely.
At King's Place. And they're absolutely amazing. The best show on earth, I think. Best flamenco show.
That's, yeah, I have not seen that show, but I meant to go. I want to go. I'll tell you what, I go ahead.
It's breathtaking. Honestly, it's the only flamenco show that it's so intense that I long for the interval because I thought I was going to get a heart attack. That's how intense it is.
So, don't want that. You're not that old. You keep on acting like you're about to keel over and die all over your brand new Skype recording device there. Yeah. Otherwise known as a computer.
Yes.
But we know about those.
MacBook.
A new Excellent. MacBook. Very that's good. So, yeah. But anyway, so what I want to do is what website? What's your website they can go to? And
The website is www.igf.org.uk.
Absolutely.
Igf.org.uk. Yeah.
Thank you so much for supporting the show. First of all, we really appreciate it. And second of all, I'm going to try and make it out there next time to do some real coverage because it sounds like a lot of fun. I've never been to England. And I love it. I read about it. I learn the history and everything. I try to do everything I can. I'm real interested in it, but I've never been. So I definitely will be dropping by one of these years.
Well, we have a huge festival in July called the Guitar Summit. And there will also be a conference of all the Eurostrings festivals.
Oh, okay. So I could do that.
You could do that. And also be a new competition that is just for the winners of the 17 competitions. You see what I mean? So and there'll be lots of lectures and presentations, and so it's going to be a huge jamboree.
The best of the best. Well, yeah. We'll talk again leading up to that.
Yeah, and you should come and do a podcast.
I will. I can interview everybody at the festival and then cover the whole thing. There's like a whole thing I do for that. But we'll talk about that over the old email.
I'll practice on the Skype in the meantime.
Oh, you're going to be so good by the time I talk to you again. And you don't have to worry. It's only audio. So I don't know if you usually wear a hat or whatever, but you look fine. But this is an audio only thing.
Thank you.
You and I are just doing this so that we can get to know each other. All right, Tom. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Brent.
You can stay on. I'm just going to press stop on the recording.
Okay.
So that was my time with Tom Kirstens. Again, everybody, I apologize for some of the audio quality. I think the point still got across, and I think we had a good time talking. Anyway, so let's move on. Make sure you go to the London Guitar Festival if you happen to be in England at the end of the month. And let's move on to the episode proper. This is my interview with guitarist and educator Rob Alder. And where are you originally from?
Minneapolis, suburbs of Minneapolis.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that you're very together.
Sure.
And you seem very you seem happy.
Yeah.
You seem like a happy guy.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in New York a while. It's like 7 years, 7.5 years at this point. It's been good.
It's been good to you.
Yeah. It's definitely been. There's been some up and downs, but for sure. But it's generally skews. Yeah. Good.
It generally skews good. So explain to me, you said you came from Minnesota.
Yep.
And who'd you study with in New York? Did you come here to
study?
Yeah,
came here for MSM, studied with Mark Del Priora for my master's.
So you're a thinking man, you're a philosopher.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. What was your time like with him?
It was good.
Jumping right into it. I know I'm not really.
Yeah, no.
We could talk about Minnesota forever.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed my time with Mark and just all the guitar department stuff there. Still paying for it, which.
Me too.
The loans, the like 30-year loans is.
Just crazy.
Yeah, it's brutal.
$250 a month I paid. It's like I made a dent in my $70,000.
I'm at like $600 a month. It's,
what are you gonna do? What are you talking about? How do you do that? Well, you're actually paying it off.
Yeah, it's on the 20 or 30 year plan, but it's a lot. I think it was worth it. I learned just a lot about how to be a musician particularly from Mark, and about music more than I think undergrad. I learned more about guitar. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it was a goal of mine to be a New York guitarist, and just to like set up roots here and be able to make a living doing that. So it definitely, like, being at MSM helped me achieve that. So yeah, I liked it. It was all kind of a blur for 2 years, but
It's amazing how quick that goes by.
Absolutely.
But yeah, how it seemed like I look back on that and I'm like, yeah, it was there. That was my New York experience. Yeah. And but no, it wasn't. It was just a tiny little sliver of it.
Yep.
2 years goes by in a flash.
For sure.
But you know, being with Mark, who is not a a run of the mill guitarist, he kind of does his own thing. He'll suddenly just, you know, play sore for 2 years, and then suddenly he'll write all his own stuff for 2 years. He's just one of those guys.
I think it's kind of that idea in itself, where you need to find. Kind of need to find your niche in the city, and figure out what kind of your thing is going to be. And again, with like Mark too, like if you get him talking about theory or SOAR for an hour, he'll just go off on it. And has a very good like depth of knowledge on everything. So it was kind of that, the idea that I just need to find something besides just being a guitarist, trying to tie the guitar playing aspect with something else, which for me is actually, it's been Suzuki teaching.
Right. Run, yeah, that's how I know you too. Is New York guitar school.
Yep. Yeah. So I run a Suzuki guitar program. It's like one of the biggest in the city, probably the country. It's got about... It's like 70, 80 students doing classical guitar, Suzuki guitar. So kind of through Mark's encouragement, I found that and was able to grow this program over the last like 5 years.
Mark's encouragement towards Suzuki?
He like vocally was like, hey, if you want to live in the city and work, you should just go get Suzuki trained. And that's like a good, he had some other students that had done that and had been good for them just in terms of setting up in the city.
What does that do? Does it just give you a curriculum in a bedrock that from there you can build on, or what do you think?
Yeah, so it's...
Because like, we do kind of go into it and we're like, I don't know, just FJH, beginner guitar, just do you practice or don't practice or...
Yeah, it for one, there's like a community of teachers. Also in New York, there's definitely more people are getting trained now, but when I got trained like 5 or 6 years ago, there weren't that many people. So just in terms purely of like New York City... and with Suzuki guitar specifically, it was just a good opportunity, in that there was a demand for it and there just weren't that many people that had focused on that yet and gotten the training. Right. And it's like, I've got, I think like trained on five of the 9 books. So I'm not even like fully trained. It's kind of this ongoing process, but it does give a curriculum, which is good. And they really teach you how to teach the curriculum, and it's like basic repertoire and stuff, but it gives you some.
Yeah, I've seen the books.
Yeah, and it, like there's nothing in the books. It's just the pieces, kind of all the pedagogy and ideas come from these training sessions. Whereas like someone that has their master's, they can look at it and be like, okay, I see what they're trying to like develop and build. Right. But the real value comes from watching these people, these Suzuki teacher trainers that have been doing it for, you know, 10, 15 or more years, and just watching them teach the material. And how they engage with students and how they build using that repertoire. And that's kind of where the big value has come for me.
From the actual sort of master classes. Or,
yeah.
In a sense.
And that's essentially the majority of the training sessions. It's watching these, essentially like master classes, and just kind of watching them teach. And then there's like discussions after it too. But for me, that was kind of the watershed kind of moment in my career, that getting that training and then things... really started to pick up after graduation. Because I graduated and I was like, oh, I got a classical guitar master's. What am I going to do to pay New York City rent? There was a moment where I thought I would get like an international business degree or something. I still wake up and think like, oh yeah,
maybe I'll be a businessman.
Exactly. But that was... something that's been I've been able to build on and continue to build on in my career, which has been good, for sure.
That's great. So as far as who your mentor at the Suzuki, where are these Suzuki classes held?
So
Midtown or
for my program
next to the David Lynch Meditation Foundation.
It's that there is one in Midtown. There's one.
It seems like, I mean, you know, and it's to me, it's always like this mysterious sort of cultish.
Yeah, there's
thing. There's is some, there an element of that?
There's
to
some
it?
Like drink the Kool-Aid type aspects to it, which I try and I run under the radar.
Yeah, you can do the 12 steps without the Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, there exactly, I try and I'm trying to run my program a little bit on the radar because it's. Compared to some of like the conservatory style programs, it's very, very different, a lot more flexible. Where like some of the programs, even for like violin or piano, there it's mandatory parent attendance.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it mandatory? Because that to me is the thing that makes that when I heard that, which was years ago, I just sort of said, okay, so the big thing Suzuki does is it trains the parents while it trains the kids. Yeah. Is that sort of the biggest?
There's
sort of like just like that's something you can point to and go, that's different.
There's kind of like three big things, and that's definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. The other is learning everything by ear first. So that's why it's I've taught kids like as young as two, which kid that's 2 years old is still working on language development skills. But it's the same. The idea is the same way kids learn language, they're learning music. So like the second an infant's born, they're surrounded by adults, and you don't like sit an infant down and be like, all right, you're going to learn English today, right? It's this environmental thing that happens.
Yeah.
And just through a ton of imitation and repetition, kids learn how to speak a language. So kind of using that environmental idea, the kids are listening to the music they're going to start playing. So by the time they start to learn how to perform it, they already know how it sounds. They know how the rhythms go. It's like the same stuff all of us do as musicians, just learning our repertoire by listening to it. But kids' brains are especially geared to work kind of with that idea. And it makes it super successful. So it's the parent involvement, the listening, and there's also a group class component. So giving kids as young as like 3 to 5, essentially an ensemble opportunity, which isn't something I got really to do until college, working with like other classical musicians. Three things all together make it super powerful. Kind of with my program, the approach is it's Manhattan. We do have a program in Brooklyn too, but both parents are always super busy.
Are you working exclusively through New York Guitar School?
So I have one student that's not through the guitar school, but who's kind of grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. But majority of my students, I've got about 30 lessons a week. I'm the director of the program, and then I teach a good chunk of the students there as well. And I'll do lessons at, we have a Midtown location, do lessons in our Brooklyn location, and then I do a lot of home lessons throughout Manhattan as well.
Right. Doing those lessons, when you do them, when you have the group element, where does that take place? That takes place...
At the facility. At the like brick and mortar locations, so like at our Midtown, Upper East Side.
Well, I know what's his name. Who's the owner again?
Dan.
Yep. Yeah. Dan. What's his last name?
Jim? Emery.
Dan Emery.
Yep.
God, you know what? I don't know. I'm seriously just starting to forget everybody's name. I mean, I know him well. He's advertised. We've worked together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the three of us were working on something.
Yep,
what was that?
There was like a guitar festival.
That I was going to do.
Yeah, I was really bummed that.
You were going to play.
Yeah. I was pulling for that.
Things that I noticed is that if you Google, you must know this. If you Google classical guitarist New York, you're the guy that comes up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You did not know that?
No.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's true. Yeah. Classical guitarist New York. It says... But is that you?
That's not me.
Who is that guy?
But that's my boilerplate there.
That's you're a soothing classical guitarist in New York City? For Gig Salad.
Oh, yeah. But that's definitely not me.
That's not you.
But that's my description.
Sure. But that's horrible. Well, then who is this guy?
I don't know.
I'm not connected to the internet. Is that upsetting?
No. That's hilarious.
I mean, it shows a picture of an older guy.
Yeah, from looks like 1995.
Because I was like, wait a second. Who's coming in the door? Because in your video, you look like one guy, and then this guy looks like another guy. You got a video of you playing Carcassi, is that right?
Yeah.
Right, that's you.
Yep.
With longer hair.
Yep.
Then there's this guy who's got just a bouquet of flowers and a guitar in the other hand. A striped shirt. It looks like it was taken in 1993.
Yeah.
That's not you.
That's not me, for sure.
You're a young guy. When did you graduate from college?
2011.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you are not new to the city, newer than me. Yeah. You've been here for 10 years.
Yeah, about seven. 29.
And you liked it. You know, you made that decision, that same decision I made, which was that I'm going to be here. I'm going to get roots here.
Yep.
I'm going to operate from here so I can live here. What are the other benefits to that? Are you married or anything?
Nope. I have a girlfriend. Not married.
I'm saying benefits to living in New York City.
Oh, sure.
Because I think meeting wonderful people that you can spend the rest of your life with is one of the greatest things about the city. The dynamic partners that you can hang out with.
Yeah. No, I just love the city. I had visited it a couple times as a kid, and from like probably like age 10, it was just like a goal. Or just like, I just want to live in New York. I love pizza.
Do you remember how big that slice was?
Oh, yeah.
When you were 10?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was holding it with both hands, and I just remember thinking, this is the best thing I've ever seen, and I wanted one every minute that I was in New York.
There's like this...
when I was 10.
There's like a pizza joint in Midtown that was like the place I got my first slice from, and I keep like trying to find it. I don't know if it exists anymore, but I'm like wandering around in the 40s.
Because I remember they let me go downstairs by myself and get it.
Oh, cool.
And that was big.
Yeah, yeah, I've got like... There's like an old picture of me with like the biggest, dumbest grin on my face, just like holding my first like slice. So I got like... I've got reference material to like... I'll like think of the picture and like look at the board and like
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't like pizza?
Yeah,
and to be the pizza capital of the world,
right?
It's a huge thing.
Yeah,
a huge plus to be able to get a slice.
Absolutely.
Oh god! So we basically moved here for pizza. We're putting up with all this shit because we like cheese on bread.
It's worth it. Worth it.
Is your girlfriend a musician?
No, she...
Great.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Super supportive and understanding of the whole musician thing, which is awesome. She works in non-profit marketing.
So as far as... How did you guys meet? I don't know why I'm so interested.
I don't know. It's good
Sometimes we don't talk about the ladies so much, but yeah. I don't
know. Okay, Cupid.
Thank you for being... Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so
no shame. Yeah.
But did you have to go on a lot of dates?
Like a few. I was dating, but it was I don't know.
Do you pay for all the dates?
Oh, I thought you meant like pay for like the dating apps. I go Dutch usually.
You go Dutch and that's okay.
Yep.
Okay, because I don't, and that's one of the things that keeps me from
right
to do it, because I'm like dropping $75 on, you know, it my two up. Beers and her three white wines.
Right.
But that's not the way to go. You can go Dutch and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So 2018.
Yeah. Look, you know what? We gotta you know, draw lines in the sand. Make sure everybody's comfortable. So the thing is, musically, what else is going on? Tell me about your body of work.
Sure. Yeah. So like with the teaching, I'm doing about 6 days a week. Not about. It's exactly six right. days a week. Sundays off. So that's, you know, the late hours that one has with teaching.
Right.
And I haven't been performing a lot. I definitely have a teaching career, not much of a performing career. I'll do a couple performances, like grad recital from MSM.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So which was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 7 years ago.
Yeah. So that's, like I've done, performance-wise, I played with an orchestra for a while. Mm-hmm. They're called One World Symphony.
Yeah. I
haven't done anything in a few years. But that was probably like some of my most rewarding experiences.
Was it stuff with the One World Symphony?
Yeah. The conductor was like very inclusive of guitar. So I did one performance with them where I just played a few solo pieces. And then he wrote a part in this orchestral piece for guitar, and I did a lot of kind of like interstitial pieces in between movements, and that was like those some of the most fun I've had, just playing with like that large of a group of musicians, which again, like in grad school and some of the performances I've done has been with like singers or violinists, which is good and fun, but getting to play with that big of a group as a guitarist was... It's just awesome.
It's the dream.
Yeah.
It really is. Because when you're learning about music, when you're learning music history, when you're studying theory, when you're studying these pieces,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are piano in theory, but when we're talking about just the history of music and the scope, it's generally orchestral.
Yeah.
So to be able to actually be part of that tradition in some way, even it's really sweet of him to like write in a guitar part.
I was very honored that he did that. And then because
people always ask me, so you play in an orchestra? I'm like, there's no guitar in orchestra.
Yep.
And I'm always like,
except for like one Mahler symphony has a really bad guitar part.
Like the big one, the symphony of 1,000.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, if we could have 1,000 people, is there anybody else you guys can think of? Yeah, maybe we should have a guitarist if we're going to have 1,000 people.
Yeah, it's just like playing G in octaves too or something. It's,
oh, that's horrible.
But I mean, he put forth the effort, so it's, there's something, I guess.
Good job, Gustav.
Yeah.
So yeah, a little part of me dies. Mm-hmm. When I have to tell people that there's no guitar in symphony music. You did that. And when did that end? How did that end? Why did that?
Is
it still going on?
They had the conductor, I think, is having some health things going on maybe. No. So I think he had to step back.
And it was his baby.
Yeah, it was driven by him and his wife were organizing and putting on all the concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's been about maybe like 2 years. The last show I did with them, they did a kind of like a solidarity concert on the, I think it was the same day as the Women's March, the first one.
Great.
I think that was the favorite performance I've ever had.
What did you guys perform? Do you remember?
I did he wrote a piece. They did a movement of Beethoven. I can't remember from which symphony. And I got to do, I did.
You got written into Beethoven?
No. I got to do a solo performance where I performed some oud music, which I did it on guitar just because I have an oud, but I didn't have the time to like get it down.
To learn the oud. Yeah. Why do you have an oud? Turkish oud.
Yeah, I love oud music for one, but just like stringed instruments. I have like a library of like guitars and ukulele, banjos, and weird things like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Where do you live in Greenpoint or?
I'm in Borum Hill. Okay. So just down the G.
Down the old G, no big deal.
Yeah.
I got to see those things, dude.
Yeah, I got some cool stuff.
I would really like to come over and look at those. I mean, I'm not playing.
No, no.
When people are like, oh, I've got a bunch of guitars, you should see them. I'm just like, that's just going to make me jelly and upset.
Yeah.
But as far as like seeing other instruments, that's fun. I'd like to see those and really fool around with them.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah. You're welcome over at any time.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, you're so busy teaching, though. And that's sort of the problem, isn't it? I mean, I mean, you're obviously teaching a lot. Mm-hmm. You are the most, as I just showed you, you are Google King of Manhattan.
I got to write Google a thank you letter.
Oh, God. I mean, they're going to read it, especially if it's handwritten. They like it when you do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll hand deliver it in Chelsea.
Exactly. Get a singing telegram.
They're really edible arrangements, too.
Oh, this is nice. Arrangements for everybody at Google.
Yeah.
I don't think a guitar teacher is ready for that.
That's true.
You know, you have to teach a lot, and I know what that's like. This year, I'm teaching, but somebody quit at the school I worked at, and so I have, like, double the kids.
Yep.
And it's tough, man. It's tough getting into the game and finding time to work on the guitar.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Because obviously, you have a similar schedule. We both have to leave in 30 minutes, and then that's it for our day. 2 o'clock rolls around. We got to maybe eat something before that, which is probably not going to happen.
Right.
And then boom, we're out. And we're out until, you know, we're home at 8:30, 9:30.
Yeah.
You know. So what's happening with that? How do you have an entire program coming up?
Yeah.
When is that? Why don't you tell everybody when that is,
and then we'll move on. Yeah, it'll be Friday the 26th
of October.
Yeah, just like 2 weeks from this Friday.
Where is it?
It's going to be at Art Gallery. I have some friends that own Art Gallery in the Lower East Side.
Uh-huh.
The Massey Klein Gallery. Mm-hmm. It's going to be I'm doing an all female composer program to kind of pair with the artist that's on display.
How long is the program?
It's about an hour.
All female?
Yep.
Okay, well, that's interesting.
Sure.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
Sure, absolutely.
But how do you find the time to really work on that? An hour program is real serious stuff. Whether it's memorized or not, how do you find the time to work on something like that? Get that up to par.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You just get up early?
I stay up late.
Stay up late? Yeah. I'm starting to find the benefits. I never did that before because I always lived with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I got a roommate now. But you stay up late and you practice late.
Yep. Yeah. I'll get home at 9, eat a quick dinner, and I'll usually practice.
You live by yourself?
I have one roommate, but there's construction in the back of our building, so she sleeps with earplugs in anyway, so it works out. It's perfect. Oh,
and she's really sweet about it, too?
Yeah.
She probably hears it a little bit.
Yeah, she's, not bothered by it at all. And I'll be very careful, are you, cool if I practice? She's like, stop asking me. It's fine.
Yeah, I've got the best guy here, too. He actually seems to get mad when I ask him.
Yeah,
same. Because he's really just like, I don't care.
Yep.
That's really sweet. Yeah, some people are amazing about it.
Yeah, it's a weird, long apartment. It's not a railroad apartment, but it's bizarrely configured.
Space. Yeah, I know. I was in one of those last night. There's a room, and then there's just the hall.
Yep.
And then you're at the end or whatever. You're far. You're far away from each other. Yep. You're in a different apartment, it feels like.
Pretty much.
As far as this all female program, this is outstanding. Yeah. What's going on with that?
Yeah, so the artist,
especially right now, I mean, that's important and something we're all, like you said, we're all behind. We're all sort of championing it. Solidarity is important right now.
Absolutely. So the artist that's giving the showing,
the painter.
The painter. She's I think from the Netherlands, and all of her art is kind of just about the female experience. So I was trying to come up with the program, and I'm sitting there playing Villalobos and Tarina and Taroba, and it just kind of hit me I can't do all these dudes in this this to pair with these paintings that are all about the female experience. It just seemed tone deaf. And so I started to pull a list of female composers, and I think it just works a lot better, and it helps pair with the art. And again, just important for this time.
When did you start learning a 1-hour program of all female composers?
I think we scheduled the show back in May. So around May or June, I started working on it.
Okay, so it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been yeah.
But still, that's quite a while to do that. Were the pieces particularly challenging, or are they marginal?
Yeah, it's a good mix.
Okay.
Some of it's the repertoire that Connie Hsu did.
That's the only album of all female composers that I can come up with off the top of my head. She was the first person to really do that.
Absolutely. It's Emilia Giuliani, which is Giuliani's daughter. She has some really nice preludes. So I'm doing some of those, which are in the fashion of Giuliani. It's not the most difficult things in the world, but they're fast and there's some awkward shifts and stuff.
In there.
There's another composer from the same era. I'm going to butcher her name. It's Athani Paulien. And she wrote just a couple pieces. She was friends with De Fossa, who's a contemporary of Aguado.
Yeah.
Which not a lot of people know about him. And it's a theme of variations on operatic themes, which again, have some fast parts. And kind of, there's a couple more modern pieces, which the names I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce, that are just not written by guitarists. So they kind of have some of those awkward,
terrible.
This was written on a piano, clearly.
Right.
So you have to be creative with those. So yeah, it's a program I'm excited about, and that it spans 200 years of repertoire representation, back to the 1800s. Just stuff from three different continents, and a lot of different styles. So it's probably the most varied program I've ever done. There's some flashy, crowd pleasing stuff in there. It's difficult, but also just some cool, moody, thoughtful stuff too. So I'm excited. Definitely a little nervous for it, but it should be a lot of fun.
And then you're going to be doing that while they're talking, or is it going to be a concert situation?
It's going to be just a straight concert. A little wine there, maybe.
Oh my goodness! Of course,
yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's all music that I'm legitimately enjoying playing.
That's the thing. It's just enjoying playing.
Yeah, it's not. I'm not forcing any of it, which is probably I think one of the first times where I've done a program that big and I've connected with all the pieces and really enjoyed them.
Because you learned them all at the same time too. That's a big thing. There's not one of them where you're just fuck.
Yeah. And it's, there's some where I'm like, oh shit, like, I gotta work on those scales some more.
But there's not where you're just like, I'm so over this.
Yeah. It's all stuff that, I really enjoy, which is
that's cool.
It's unique to have that experience where it's.
It is unique. I think it's, that's the thing, is we put these programs together over the course of, you know, especially as we age, we put them over the course of a year or two, sometimes more. You know, it's like you say, you change, swap things in and out of the program. If you're concertizing regularly,
yeah,
you know, you're swapping it out one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way I did it when I was running around. But that's, yeah, to have an entirely new program and just go boom, that's super exciting.
Yeah, and that's not, again, that's not something I've done.
And your parents will be in town.
Yeah, well, they won't be here for the concert.
Let's talk about Minnesota. What did Dad do?
My dad's a musician. He's a professional trumpet player.
Trumpet player.
Yeah. He went to MSM back in like the 70s, back in the day. And he's actually a music engraver too. So he works for the company that makes Finale, the like engraving software.
Engraving software.
Yeah, like music. It's like Sibelius.
Yeah, Finale.
Yeah.
He works for Finale.
Yep.
But engraving software, I've never heard it called that. Is that, am I being an idiot?
No.
What is that?
It's
notation software.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like engraving.
It sounds fancy. It
sounds like he's working the Gutenberg press or
something.
He's just got an apron on something. But it's, Finale.
Yep.
He works for them?
Yep. He's the guy, he does a couple different things, but the easiest way to explain it is he's the guy that, like someone will be like, hey, this part of the software does not make any sense for someone trying to engrave. So then he'll be like, go to the programmers and be like, oh, you should like fix this, etc.
Right.
He's
a musical course, whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Advisor.
Yeah, that's what it says on his business card.
Musical advisor.
Whatever. He had been a freelance engraver for a while and then started working with them. He's been like a really big role model just as a musician. And again, I have had very supportive parents just in terms of like, hey, I want to have a musical career. And they like at times have gotten what that means more than I have. Like, you know, you're going to have these loans for the rest of your life. I'm like, I'll be fine.
Right. Now you're starting to realize you're like, these are real consequences to this decision.
For sure. They've been super supportive, and always kind of a good for like career advice. It's been, very beneficial just to have someone in my life.
Yeah, that's unbelievable because every time, you know, once you get out of college and you try to talk to somebody about what to do.
Yep.
It's like I can only take Fred Hand out to dinner once a year, you know, and it's like he's always like everything will be okay.
Yep.
I don't try, and also I don't want to sit there and whine to him anymore. So, you know, having a relationship where you can go to mom and dad and be like, oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do.
Yep.
I just don't know how to do this, or I lost too many students, or it's a bad semester, or, you know, or I had a bad concert or these things, and have them really, really understand it.
Yep.
And also understand it not from the perspective of just being, you know, blindly supportive, which, you know, I don't necessarily have a, you know, good reaction to that either. When a friend's just like, oh, everything will be fine. I'm like, I don't know if that's fine. And I think it's a little bit disrespectful to like my actual predicament.
Right. Yeah. It's, usually their advice comes down to pay off your loans as fast as possible.
They say that. Your parents say that.
Yeah.
Which is hence your $600 a month.
Yeah.
Which is really what I should be doing, but I don't have that kind of scratch.
Yeah, it's
to
like do that, pay New York rent, and then like health insurance on top of that. It's
and be a dude, just be like a guy that
and
goes
then enjoy
out and
life.
Goes to birthday parties and has an apartment.
Yep.
Well, luckily you have a roommate too.
Yep.
That's the thing about having a roommate is that that's huge.
Yeah, it's it's like not possible to not
have a roommate.
Yeah.
It's not, people.
Yeah.
It is, but then you're really. Then I think you're probably going to go broke and move out of the city.
Yeah.
What else have you got going on? As far as like, you know, have you been teaching any schools? It's been a while. You just got New York City Guitar School.
Yeah.
What do you do with them? You're sort of a
kind of a you're high up in there. I think yeah, you're doing things.
I do a lot.
You're an administrator.
Yeah, so I'm running that Suzuki program, which means I'm also part of like the general leadership team for the school.
Right.
And I'm also doing some like engraving projects. So we're working on a book. This is for like adult beginners for just like pop and rock stuff.
Amazing.
But I'm working on a book that we're going to get published with Hal Leonard, which is pretty cool. Just like engraving it and arranging tunes. So yeah, it's like I've got essentially kind of like three different jobs with them between the teaching, kind of this engraving project, and then also the director position. It's a lot, and it all kind of moves around, but it's nice that it's at one place where I know like a lot of friends who are doing teaching a lot of different places and are kind of spread out. It's nice to at least have the source of income be one place, albeit though it's like three different jobs. And that's made it easy to grow there too, just because all of my experience has been there. Like I started off there answering the phones. Like when I moved to the city, I walked up and down like Broadway, Amsterdam, and Columbus, just like hoping for a busboy job, and like heard nothing back.
Nothing. Yeah.
And I was like ready to just take like a job at Duane Reade or something, and I saw like a job posting pop up on Craigslist. I was like, oh man, if I could just answer phones for this guitar school, I'd be so happy.
Well, then you show them that you're a nice guy, yeah. And before you know it, they're like, we need you to increase your responsibilities.
Yeah, and that's how it worked out. I've been again very lucky. Definitely, I've worked hard, but like there's some luck that goes into
yeah, sure, into it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's good that you were open to it too, because a lot of people would see that job and go like, I'm not answering phones.
Yeah, that was kind of the biggest thing for me is I moved here like the summer before I started my master's, mm-hmm. and I was like, I need to get a job, I need to get an apartment. And I worked all the way through my master's. And that really was what kind of helped me get started on my career after graduation, because I had a job that was music related, and I had something to go to and to do right after graduation. Whereas I know a lot of people get out of like conservatory programs, and they're just like, oh, where's that performance career?
Yeah.
And you just kind of don't know what to do.
The Monday after I graduated, I called every school in New York City, every preschool, every mm-hmm. elementary school.
It's
heard almost nothing, but I heard some things.
Yeah.
But hopefully everybody does that.
Yeah. It's been good. I'm at the point where I'm staring down 30, which isn't that.
It's you're not 29 that old. Now?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to think like, man, what's 50 or 60 going to look like?
Worried.
I've been a little bit. Like I've been very lucky. I'm doing good. I have a good career. But
the problem is, as a 41-year-old,
mm-hmm.
is that eventually you just want more.
Yeah.
You just want more shit.
I want healthcare.
Yeah, it starts out where you just want healthcare, and then you get that. But I think, and I'm not trying to be wise old man. The only thing with like being in the same situation mm-hmm. you're in now, 10 years from where you are now,
yep.
is that it's just a little bit like I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I want more things. I feel like okay, well, I haven't traveled, or I haven't, I haven't done these things, or I don't have a kid.
Yep.
I can't afford a kid. I don't know. It's just a little bit like that, where you just start going like, there's things that I don't. I'm just you've been doing the same shit forever and mm-hmm. ever and ever, and it's good shit.
Yeah.
Like it's good. Like you're saying, it's good. It's solid. But that's it, dude. That's all you get to do.
Yeah.
And that's a little hard on you. I think it's a little hard on the people you date.
Yep.
It's hard on your family. It's hard on people. Hey, come to my bachelor party in New Orleans. You're like, nah, dude, no way.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I don't know.
No, if you view you as someone further down on the path of...
It's all right.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't have a roommate.
Yeah. It's like I took my first like adult vacation where I wasn't around like a holiday or some kind of like family visit.
Right.
And it was for a day in Miami. It was like 29 is my first real vacation. It was for like 24 hours. But it was like... I also, I got a taste of that. It's just like, oh, vacations are
good.
This is great. It should do this again.
Yeah.
In 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah. And then somebody's like, I want to go apple picking.
Oh, man.
And then you're like, well, I have to get a car, and then I have to get the gas in the car. Then we're gonna have to drink.
You got to buy the apples. You got to
go buy the apples. The apples are expensive. It's just, and then the whole day's gone. I haven't gotten any work done. I lost money there. Mm-hmm. You got to be ready to do that. It's just, apple picking. Yeah, it could be. First of all, I don't like apple picking. Oh. Forget about it. Do you like it?
Hot take on apple picking. I do. I do like. I like fall. I like
fall too, but I don't need to go pick apples.
This, it's like a once every 3 year activity.
I feel like you like apple
picking. I do like apple picking. That's true. You got me.
I could tell. I could tell you were one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Likes fall. Likes apple picking. I like fall too. Well, happy fall to you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks.
Is there anything else that you want to just say before we close up shop and we go teach those kids?
Just thanks. This is I've been a fan of the podcast.
I appreciate that very much.
And when I got the email, it was like being called up to the big leagues.
Oh, stop it. Yeah, get out of here.
So it's this has been fun. So thanks.
No, thank you so much for visiting, and it's good to have a new friend, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
That does it for the show, folks. Thanks so much. And do make sure you visit brettwilliamsmusic.com to donate to the show. This is episode 114, and we're proud of what we do here. So we want to keep it going. But as you know, these episodes are getting harder and harder to produce. I am working a lot, and this takes a lot of time. So help out. Go to brettwilliamsmusic.com, donate to the show. All right? Thank you, Rob Alder, for joining me, and I'll talk to you guys next time.